And a good Saturday morning, and good luck to the kayakers who will be fishing in the Ride the Bull tournament at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle. We'll have a live report from Chris Holmes during our paddler's report. Now, this Ride the Bull has some special meaning. It's going to provide the broodstock for Louisiana's first ever redfish stocking program. Our Bayou Wild TV photographer Chris Lecoq is down there now, and he's planning to document the catch and the transport later this afternoon. Those broodstock fish will be brought to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi Fish Hatchery, where the fish will be spawned and the juvenile offspring returned for live release back into Louisiana waters. This is an historical event, and you'll be able to watch the whole process on a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. And speaking of Bayou Wild TV, we're going to be previewing next week's Tigers in the Wild feature. We're going to be bow fishing and hearing from LSU defensive tackle Jacobian Guillory about his first bow fishing adventure with Bayou Bow Fishing's Captain Mark Vogt. And we might even get a little bit of an LSU football report from him. Well, we also had some other big news that broke this week for duck hunters. Governor Jeff Landry and our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan have requested in a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow those Mexican whistler ducks to be taken during early teal seasons. Now, we'll explain what the chances of that happening might be and also look at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service breeding population numbers. That was released this week, and they're, well, I would say less than overwhelming, but there are some bright spots along with some negative data, and we'll talk more about the upcoming duck seasons, teal seasons right on us now with Captain Ryan Lambert. He's our kind of go-to duck guy. Also, a Bayou Pigeon man has pled guilty to hunting migratory birds over bait and has been sentenced. His crime and his punishment is this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature. I want to thank all of those of you who came to see me and all the other Hunter for the Hungry volunteers across the state last weekend to donate your wild game and seafood during last weekend's Clean Out Your Freezer Day. The final numbers are not in, but last count, there was over 16,000 pounds of wild game and seafood that was collected to feed the hungry. Thank you very much. And if you had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include your report along with your comments and questions with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time here to the studio, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Be sure to tell us who you are and where you're listening. All right, coastal marine forecast from the National Weather Service. Kind of strange this morning. Down lower coast and in the Gulf, going to be some pretty stiff easterly winds. I'm looking at Southwest Pass, 20-mile-per-hour wind at 4:30, and just up the road a piece in Belchase, it was calm. So the more inland you go, the less wind, and of course down along the coast is where most of your salt water, particularly offshore fishing, takes place, and there is a small craft advisory up for the lower coast until later on this morning, and those winds are expected to continue out of the east, but maybe drop down just a little bit in intensity. Easterly winds 10 to 15, 2 to 3 foot seas for the offshore fishermen. On the interior lakes and bays, 10 to 15 today, light chop, and tomorrow dropping down easterly 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mississippi River low 2.8 and steady. Your average tide range is about 0.8 foot. Not a whole lot of chance of rain depending on where you are. Higher chances down along the lower coast, but anywhere from 10 to 30% chance of rain. So remember, it's going to get hot. Don't let it fool you. You know, it had a little bit of low humidity. We got a little bit of a early taste of fall this week. It was very enjoyable, but I think the muggies will be back starting probably today. All right, that's stage is set for the next 2 hours. Thanks for tuning in. When we come back, we're going to check in with our regular guy down in Shell Beach, Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina, letting you know what's happening down there. And, of course, we got other reports from Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle, Mike Gallo, Ryan Lambert, and, of course, a special guest paddler reporter, Chris Holmes. He's live at the Ride the Bull tournament down in Grand Isle. I know it's getting pretty busy down there. We'll check in with them right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, come on down with me to Shell Beach, and we'll check in with Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. Robbie, boy, we had some really nice couple of days humidity-wise. Really felt good. It was a little tease, though. I think the muggies are coming back and calling for some wind and maybe some light showers moving in from the east. What you getting down there right now?
Well, Don, I tell you, this morning here, we're seeing about a 10 miles an hour east wind. That is expected to pick up, and I'm sure it will as soon as that sun jumps up a little bit. We're going to see that wind blowing a little bit. It's supposed to be forecasted today, I think, for 12 to 20 knots or something. But I do believe that the wind is going to pick up a little bit when the sun comes up. So, and this past week it was pretty much kind of the same thing. The guys that got out who braved the waves and went out there, and because it was rough in the sound this week, and got out there to the islands. And they caught some fish, Don. It was a pounding getting out there. And the guys that had backed off and just turned around and stayed around rocks, around long rocks and that BLY area, they had a lot of pick-throughs. A lot of 12 and a half inch fish. We've been talking about this for probably the last month now, and everybody comes in, they all discouraged, and but. A lot of action, but just a lot of throwback fish. And, I get this question all the time, how much harm are we doing to these fish trying to catch, trying to go through, 300 to keep 25 or 30? I said, well, if you feel that way, I would think I'd just go try something else. But, you're there fishing the long rocks, and that's what's biting, so that's what you're doing, but you're going to go through a lot of fish. There's no doubt. Now today, I think when I got here this morning, Don, the water's up pretty good. I think a lot of people are going to, try to get up in that marsh today with this wind blowing around that Stump Lagoon area, maybe, and go behind Pete's Lagoon back there and do some red fishing. I don't believe that today is going to be a trout day. Maybe in the Mystico on the backside of the dam, right before Anastasio, if you could find some clean water up in that area, or south of the channel around maybe that Lake Coquille, Lake Machias area, you might find some clean water on the northern banks in there. I think most people today are going to go red fishing, or go white trout in the deep holes in those bayous. Plenty white trout to be caught. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks also, Don, and they stacked up in there. I mean, any one of those bayous that you go in that's got any kind of low reef bottom in it, it is, in those deep turns, it's been two at a time. So, I would say respectfully keep your nicer ones and throw the little ones back, but there is no limit, and there is no size limit, and if you want to clean 10-inch fish, well, you can. I mean, that's up to you. I mean,
just use a small filet knife. Get a small filet.
Right, just use, exactly. Another question I've been getting asked recently, when does the transition start? Well, actually, Don, the transition is starting about right now. When you get here and your tide starts coming in at night and starts falling in the daytime, that's the kind of beginning of the transition there. Now, look, you're not going to come in here and go catch a boatload of fish today because I said that it's starting to transition. It's starting. It hasn't quite happened yet, but it's starting. This is, everything has a beginning, and this is the beginning of it. So I think we still, we usually have another – those trout quit laying eggs around the first full moon in September. So after that's over with, those fish will start migrating their way back into the Lake Bourne area up in the Lake Ponch Train. And we'll start seeing some big trout caught up along the causeway and twin spans and all that other good stuff like we do in the fall. But to answer everybody's question, when does it start? It's actually starting as we speak. So, when you get here in the morning and the tide's up and it comes in all night and then it falls during the day, that's, your earth is tilting back towards fall. So that's when your transition's starting. So if this helps anybody out and answers their questions, I hope so. 'Cause I get this question asked all the time.
Yeah, it's a popular question because, of course, people, when they can get up in the marsh, it allows small boaters. You don't have to burn as much gas, and you don't risk the bumpy ride out there, too. Robbie, what about that east shoreline of Lake Bourne? If we got an east wind coming, you know, they got a bunch of little bayous and stuff that run out of the marsh and dump right there. That might be a good spot to work that shoreline for some redfish today.
That would probably be a good, you know, a good thing to do if you was going to go. If you're going to go red fishing, because the tide is going to fall during the day. Now, we don't have a whole lot of tide. I think we only got like maybe eight tenths of a tide today. It's not going to be a whole bunch, but it'll be enough. But I think there's going to be enough wind-driven tide with the wind, Don, to make that possible. But the tide is going to fall some. So if you go along that eastern shoreline, that would be from Malo. From Jenke's Ditch, going all the way over to by Biloxi. You got a ton of little sloughs and bays, you know, little bayous and bays that dump out onto that eastern shoreline. That would probably be a good spot to go pick up, you know, maybe some sheephead, some puppy drums, or some redfish along those rocks, because that most of that shoreline is rocked all the way to Bayou Grande. So you know those kind of reef fish kind of hang along that stuff. And I would say that would be a good idea for today.
That'd be my choice. Robbie, you got enough shrimp to fill everybody's live wells up?
Don, we are stacked to the gills with live shrimp. So we good with live shrimp. All we need is people to fish. And, you know, so don't let us hang around here like the Maytag repair man. If you're coming out, hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We're waiting on you.
All right. All sounds good, Robbie. Thanks for the report, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next Saturday, Don. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Robbie Campo. Go see him at Campo's Marina. All right. We got some text messages coming in. We'll get to those. Also got some fishing reports to tell you about. Also a big Labor Day tournament going to be going on over there on the Alabama coast. All that and more coming your way right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right. We love to hear from our audience. We do that by way of our text message board. Comes right here into St. Hubert's Cathedral real time. And we share those with our audience. We got this one coming in. It says, good morning, Don. This is Uncle David, Happy Jack, Louisiana. My buddy Bruce is always late. He's bringing his two kids, Kelsey and Brady. Of course, he's going to make them kids late. I won't leave him, but give him a shout and tell him to hurry his butt up. He'll be listening. Did you ever find out where the name Happy Jack came from? Yeah, you know, people always late like that, Uncle David. You know, sometimes you just got to leave them once, and then maybe they'll never be late again. But you got people that just are consistently late, and it's not fair to everybody else. Anyway, hopefully they'll get there, and hopefully they're listening, because Uncle David's waiting for y'all. Your other question about, did I ever find out the name Happy Jack? Now, Happy Jack is a name, a little community down Highway 23 in Plaquemines Parish. Not really a city, but an area mostly. It's called Happy Jack. And Uncle David had asked me a while back to research it, and I told him I would. And he must have been listening because I mentioned it the next week. But here's what I found out. There was a post office, and the post office was called Happy Jack. Way back in 1874, not long after the Civil War, and it stayed in operation until 1958. And it got the nickname from an early settler who was known for his cheerful nature. And some of the other names of this was called Point Michael and Ronquillo Settlement. Of course, there's a Bay Ronquillo, too. But anyway, some kind of way, this guy got the nickname of being Happy Jack. And the community was named in that. You don't hear that term very often. I don't even think it's on the maps anymore. I don't know. Maybe there's some signs on the road down there. But anyway, that is the history and the name of Happy Jack. All right, here's one. Don, did you see Secretary Shahan's letter regarding Whistling Ducks? I can't help but think your coverage 2 weeks ago had something to do with that. Well, I do, and I'm going to share that letter in just a little while and talk more about it. And you know, I don't know if my talking about it had anything to do with it, but I did discuss it with her on one of our air interviews. I know she's been getting a lot of letters from hunters that are saying, you know, they see this opportunity, this situation where there's just an enormous amount of these ducks. If you look on my Facebook page, I happen to snap a picture, and that picture was taken near the West Napoleon Canal, drainage canal, in Metairie. And I want you to look at how stacked up those Mexican whistles are. And people see them in the marshes. They tend to have a tendency now to start staying here later and later. But for the most part, they're very, very prevalent here during the September teal season. So hunters are asking, while they're here, they're easily identifiable from other species like gray ducks or spoonbills or some of the other birds that might come here early along with the teal. And to not be able to take advantage of those birds and add them to the bag limit is just simply, it's just a waste. Well, they took that to heart. Governor Jeff Landry, who I understand is a waterfowl hunter, I know he fishes offshore, and Secretary Shahan got together and they wrote a letter, and I'll take some excerpts from that letter to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service justifying why we should be able to include those birds in the bag limit during early teal season. And it's going to be tough to get through. The feds are very difficult to make changes. They're very slow, in, as most of the federal government is. But the one thing this shows is a willingness on their part to be responsive to the wishes and the needs of Louisiana duck hunters and Louisiana sportsmen. So from that standpoint, I think it's a wonderful thing they did that, and I'll get more into that. We're going to talk more with Ryan Lambert about that, too. Here's one that says, he's finishing up. That was from Steel Man. He said it was a great step. Happy hunting. Captain Ross L's checking in. They're going out for catch and release bull reds with a limit of specs for a lanyap. That's always nice. He's fishing down there with them at Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll check in with Ryan a little bit later on. All right, we got Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama. He's doing yard work today, but he's finishing up on one of those very creative turkey calls. We're going to have to do a Bayou Wild TV feature on the craftsmanship of the guy named Wingbone, who makes those very, very beautiful and can be effective Wingbone turkey calls. All right, we got some more text messages coming in. If you'd like to send us one, keep this number handy, 504-260-1870. Put it in your contact list and put it down as Don's text line, and then on Saturday mornings, it'll be easy to get it and just shoot us a text message. All right, we come back after this, get to some more of those texts, tell you about the big Labor Day tournament put on by the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club. We also got a velvet deer season I've been talking about happening in Mississippi. Glad to see they're taking that advantage, and also we'll talk more about those duck limits, and also the duck numbers were released by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the breeding populations, and there's some bright spots, but also some negative spots. We'll run it down for you. Coming back after this 3-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, if you are into big game fishing, the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club has their annual Labor Day tournament, the 57th annual, scheduled for next weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September the 2nd. Registrations are underway now. Thursday, they'll take final registrations and have the captain's party that night. Friday, there'll be a shotgun start at Perdido Pass at 11 a.m., and then fishing again all day on Saturday, fishing on Sunday, and then from 4 to 8 p.m. is the big event. They'll have a weigh-in at the dock, and what a wonderful event that is, 57th Annual Mobile Big Game Fishing Club's Labor Day Tournament. You can find out more information if you just Google their website. All right, we're going to get to that letter that was written this week by Jeff Landry, our governor, and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Shahan, requesting the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow black-belly whistling duck harvested during the teal season. We're back to get some quotes from that. But first, we pause just 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don DeVue Radio Network. I'm looking at the letter that was sent to the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Martha Williams. It is signed by Madison Shahan, the Secretary of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries here in Louisiana, and also our Governor Jeff Landry. And in it, and I'm quoting here, it says, as the presence of black-bellied whistling ducks continues to grow in Louisiana, so too should the harvest opportunities. Producers in southwest Louisiana have had to endure agricultural and economic losses due to this increase, and we cannot allow this to continue. And some of the figures that are quoted here are surprising. The annual harvest of those birds, now this is during the regular duck season, is up 208% from 2012 to 2016. And then from 2017 to 2021, which I think is probably the last numbers they have on this, represents a 4,000% increase over the last 5 years. Now, the problem is some of the other states have requested this, and what they were offered was to have to shorten their teal season. And they, in a preemptive move, said that they would not want to do that. They don't want to cut short from a 16-day to a 9-day season in order to include the black-bellied whistling ducks. So we'll see how this turns out. As I mentioned, the feds are very difficult to get them to move on things like this. For most of people with common sense, which they don't use a lot there in the federal government, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's an easy thing to see. I mean, the rice farmers are losing $500,000 to $1 million in the amount of rice these birds are gobbling up. Not to mention, it could present some health risks. You see where these birds gang up in parks along drainage canals, the grain elevators on the river. They are very problematic. They're good sport. They're good eating. And to include them when they're most of the population is here during the teal season just makes sense. So we'll see what happens with it. If nothing else, I think it's a very good faith move on the part of our governor and our head of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to be reactive to what the Louisiana sportsmen and the farmers are actually telling them, and we'll see if this comes to pass. All right, getting back to your text messages, we're going to talk more about this with Ryan Lambert. He's our go-to duck guy when we talk to him. And also, I've got the latest numbers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the breeding population, the status of our waterfowl that'll be heading down here this fall. All right, well, here's a text that says, a shout-out to Mike Bruno, Harley Davidson, and Baton Rouge. They're putting on a fundraiser for Stephanie DeForges, who is battling cancer. There's a car show, food, a silent auction, includes a fishing trip and lodging and an eco tour donated by Cajun Fishing Adventures. Thank you, Ryan Lambert. That'll be on September the 14th. Yeah, very generous folks, and hope it works out well. And here's one says, Don wanted to let anyone listening know, Superior Bait and Tackle in Baton Rouge has 3-pound deep drop rod holder weights back in stock. That's from Chip with Sinkers by the Pound. You know, I got to stop in Superior Bait and Tackle. It's been a while since I've been there, and it's one of those great little fish and tackle stores, little mom and pop store like Shags and Metairie and Puglia's, where they really cater to the local fishermen and get what the local like to get in there. And they can order things for you. They do rod and reel repair. Thank God we have stores like that. And Mark does a great job. Superior Bait and Tackle over there in Baton Rouge. All right, let's see. We got this one says, good morning. I am living vicariously through you this morning as my heart is in the outdoors, but my body is stuck at work. I was able to get out early in the week and do some bush hogging at the lease. Cooler temperatures are coming in, and they will be a welcome change. That's from Smokey with a Baton Rouge caller number. You know, that's part of what we do here. Is we love to have you live vicariously through us. We bring the outdoors to your workplace, to your camp, to your car and your truck, and in some cases into your bedroom on Saturday mornings if you can't be out there. And we got some more texts coming in. Morning, Don, with the river being so low and green from the backup from the Gulf, are there redfish and striped bass being caught in Gretna? Do you know? I wouldn't think they're going to be that far north. I think the saltwater wedge, last I heard, was somewhere around Boothville. We'll get a further run. We got a lot to talk about with Ryan Lambert this morning. We'll check with him and see what he's got to say. All right, got more texts coming. Keep them coming at 504-260-1870. We're back to share them with our audience right after this quick pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting back to those text messages. Let's see. We have fishing. This is from Doug. Fishing Bayou Liberty on Tuesday and noticed three different bands of teal heading towards the Wrigley's Marsh. Fishing slow, no tide movement. Yeah, take that tide to get them biting. All right, here's one, a question. Another one for Captain Ryan. Does he do specific triple-tail mangrove snapper trips? Also, did we wait too late to try and book a trip, or is the bite still on? Thank you. If you stay tuned, we're going to be talking to Ryan Lambert a little bit later on, and we'll check with him on that. And also a question about from Pickle in Ponchatoula. How is the fishing in Happy Jack? Well, that's going to be Ryan Lambert question again. So it's going to be the Ryan Lambert show for the second hour. And we're hearing from our Alabama buddy, the Backstrap Stacker. He's headed to the camp to do more bush hogging. Man, you put a lot of time in on that deer lease. He said he got a little bit of a fall tease. It's 61 degrees up there this morning. Yeah, we had some of that around my place, too, earlier this week. But looks like it may be gone by now. But it'll be back. And here's one talking about the Happy Jack comment. You're quick on your part. You're very witty and correct. It's about that fellow that was very happy. But this fellow's happy because he's waiting for the dynamic duel to get back on the water, and he's also waiting on his buddy to get there. He's going to make the kids late on their fishing trip. Also got a buddy on the West Bank, had a procedure. Hadn't been there a while, but looking forward when he comes back and they get reunited and they can get back on the water. That's a shout-out for the nickname Bulldog. And here's one from Joey C. He's on his way to Lafayette, not for pleasure, but for work. At least he gets to listen to this show on the drive. And here's a comment, says, seeing something never before in my 80 years. Dolphins in bays back of Boothville and Burris, what does that tell you? Oysters, brown shrimp, redfish, special trout, meaning speckled trout, disappearing. I need water diversions. And here's one, says, hey, Don, the last I looked, we weren't able to hunt within the city. Well, you're not going to be able to hunt the ducks in the city, but, you know, there's actually two sides of an argument about that. I believe if you start hunting those birds and you put pressure on them, you're not going to start seeing them stack up in those places anymore. I mean, do we see blue-winged teal and gray ducks and pintails and those kind of birds stacking up in the cities? No, and when they're here, and I think part of that reason is they have a natural fear. I mean, they're hunted species, and once you hunt a species, I mean, take the bird like a dove. If doves were not hunted, they'd be basically songbirds like cardinals and blue jays and everything else. Now, other people believe that, you know, they're going to take refuge in the city parks and the places where there's no hunting and just make the situation worse there. I don't know. What do y'all think? And this one says, are there any states currently offering black-bellied whistlers in their teal season? I know that some have requested it, and I think the feds are kind of mulling it over, taking their time to make a decision. I mean, how wrong could they be, huh? All right, let's see. This one says, headed to Pecan Island to cut the grass at the camp. That's from Vermilionville. And let's see. I've been told the whistling ducks are delicious. They taste like a barn owl. Well, I don't know what a barn owl tastes like. I doubt many people do. I have eaten the whistling ducks, and to me, they're just about like any other puddle duck, gray duck, widgeon, pintail. You know, most of those species are similar, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing they have. They've got a huge breast on them because they're much bigger, they're a different shape, and they've got big legs. If you're a drumstick guy and thighs, oh, man, that's your call right there. All right, 504-260-1870. That is our talk and text line. If you want to get a text in real quick, we'll always welcome to take them. Did want to remind you, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Mississippi is taking a real good opportunity to offer a velvet deer season to hunters in their state. You know, you can take a deer in velvet, and it's only going to be for just a few days. It's September 13th through 15th. It's a very early season. You have to get a velvet season permit in addition to your other hunting license. It's, you know, of course, if it's got a velvet rack, it's going to be a buck, so it's bucks only. And you have to abide by the size limits in the unit in which you take it. Some you can take any buck. Others it's a 12-inch, and others it's 10. Just check the regulations, and you can find it out for your respective deer management area. And this is for archery only. You can use a longbow, recurve, compound bow, crossbow, and there's no minimum draw weight. You do have to get the permit. The residents, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. And the bag limit, again, is one legal buck, and it counts towards your annual antler deer bag limit. But a unique opportunity. A lot of people like to see them in velvet. And it is rare, but it does happen during the regular season where it gets to October and some of the deer still haven't scraped off all that velvet, which is the regrowth of the antlers each year. But you do it in September, you got a pretty good, a much better chance of finding a buck with velvet antlers. All right, we come back after this. We got a fishing report. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle. I think he's got special duty down there today, participating in that redfish reload, we're calling it, the first ever redfish broodstock capture and spawn and return the fingerlings to restock the redfish population in Louisiana. We'll also get a weather update, find out if it's blowing. According to what my sources tell me, it's could be some stiff east winds down there for that Ride the Bull tournament. We're back with Captain Darrell after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle, the site of the Ride the Bull kayak tournament going on there today. We talked to Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, they got you on special duty today?
Yes, sir. We'll be transporting those bull reds to send to the new redfish hatchery that they're going to be opening up. So that's what we're doing right now. We're rigging up live tanks and all in the boat so we can transport them unharmed and alive.
So you're going to be collecting these from the kayak fishermen as they hook up a brood stock redfish, and they will give some type of a signal, raise their rod, and then they'll get the word to you, and then you can pick it up, put it on your boat, and bring it back to the holding tank. Is that the way it goes?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. They will be dealt with first. They'll be weighed real quickly or do whatever the tournament's going to do. And then once they're through with that, then we're going to grab them, throw them in live tanks, and transport them to a large transport truck that's designed to, you know, transport these fish alive, and then they'll be bringing them to the hatchery.
Very good. Yeah, they'll be going to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi State Fish Hatchery, and they'll be spawned there, and then the fingerlings will be returned back to Louisiana to be released. It's a historical activity going on this weekend. Darrell, what kind of weather are you getting down there? I was looking at some pretty brisk winds blowing across from the east down there. Is that going to affect the fishing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit stiff. I'm going to tell you, Don, all week, they had a really good week. I mean, it was really windy for us most of the week, but everybody was fishing the beach, and as luck would have it, those fish were stacked up on the beach. So everything between, say, the Four Bayou area all the way to Fouchon, you had people that were lining up on that beach, and you had to move around a little bit and find some bait and find the schools of fish. But, man, there were some really impressive catches of speckled trout came off that beach this week. Now, today, if it blows like it did yesterday, I wouldn't want to be in one of those little plastic bathtubs, because, man, it blew yesterday, let me tell you. It's going to be, you know, that's what we're doing. Just to give you an example, what we're doing right now, we're moving these bait tanks off the bows of these boats, moving them to the back because we're anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. So as we're transporting these fish, we don't want to be beating them up. So, yeah, I'm anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. If you're fishing today, I don't think you're fishing the big bays. You're either going to have to get up in that marsh and pick away at the dinks, or if this wind will get a little bit of north in it, maybe the beach is going to be doable. I saw a forecast where it's probably going to be a foot and a half, which a foot and a half isn't big until you're trying to fish them in the breakers itself, and then a foot and a half gets fairly big. It's hard to fish. So it might strictly be a marsh day today.
You know, Robbie earlier was talking about the transition and happening down in his area, meaning the speckled trout moving from the outer bays into the interior marshes. And Grand Isle is usually ahead of the rest of the state as far as transitioning in or out. When do you anticipate, all the years you've been fishing down there, you start seeing it show up in Grand Isle?
Well, Don, you know, it's part of the argument here is, and when we've been using this term all year long, the bay is the new beach. We've got so much land loss down here, and these bays are so wide open, the salinities are running so high. I don't think a lot of those fish aren't making it all the way to that beach. They don't have to. They're finding current. They're finding salinity. You know, so they're still really nice fish. I mean, we had last week just inside, we had some 21-inch trout coming in. So, I mean, I think the transition is kind of halfway started already for us. I think that, you know, we're seeing some really big females on the inside. Whether they're coming back from the outside or whether they just never made it out there, I'm not sure, but I think it's underway now.
Very good. Darrell, when do you think you might make a run out to El Cid, the Raisin Canes, the new reef that was constructed, you know, a couple weeks ago before it started producing?
Oh, Don, I mean, 20 minutes before y'all showed up with the cameras, we caught a limit there. What a lot of people don't know. No, sir, what a lot of people don't know is when they cleaned that platform off, all they cleaned off was the visible part. All of the structure that was on the bottom was still there. Now, I'm a full believer that a full vertical reef is a whole lot better than just ground clutter, but there's been fish there all year long. The problem is, what was there before they went and put in those reef balls was big enough for one, maybe two boats. Mm-hmm. I understand that they didn't reef the entire area. They just did little pods, little sections all around it. So hopefully, you know, I got to get out there and map it, but hopefully they spread it out enough to where now you can fit more than one or two boats in there. But there's fish there now. There was fish. They were spooking fish off as they were putting balls down, because I know we talked to the guys on the barge while we were catching them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times those rigs, they by law, they have to remove all the metal structure. But the rock pads that are the foundation, they don't touch those. Those still remain there. And those can be some very good unmarked secret fishing holes if you know where they are.
Don't tell nobody.
Darryl, what do you think is going to be the technique for finding those bulls in the past today? You fished them before, but not from a kayak. What do you think the game plan would be for somebody getting ready to put their plastic boat in and go try to get some of them?
Well, you know, we're going to have a hard falling tide. I'm going to think that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have a decent anchor to hold them in this falling tide, although we are going to have a hard east wind bucking it, so it might slow it down a little bit. Our general game plan was always getting that 12 to 15 feet of water range, stay out of the deep channel, and always just put bait on the bottom right there on that ledge, and that's what was always successful for us. So I'm assuming that will be it. I mean, they're going to be more so on the edges of the pass rather than, you know, and try to get on the edge of that current rather than being right out in the middle, but hey, I mean, I know they went out, the folks that are doing the stuff that, you know, keeping those reds for the hack.
Got to run, my friend. Thank you. Darryl Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. Back with hour number two after this. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. And glad to have with us this Saturday morning is defensive tackle for LSU, Jacobian Guillory, who participated in a Tigers in the Wild feature. And this Tigers in the Wild preview is presented by Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. Good morning, Jacobian. How's things been going out there on the practice field? You guys getting ready for USC in Vegas?
Yes, sir. It's been going good. We've been in fall camp, and we just recently switched over to USC, so it's been a good fall camp.
Looking forward to that trip to Vegas?
Yes, sir, I am. I've never been to Vegas before.
Well, you know what they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So we're going to tell everybody what goes on if y'all put a whooping on those Trojans. We hope you do.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about your bow fishing trip, man. It was good to have you on the boat with us, Captain Mark Vogt on the Bayou Bow Fishing. Your first time doing it. What were your impressions of bow fishing?
Honestly, I never went bow fishing before, but when I got there, it's kind of quick learning. And after I took a couple of shots, I kind of got the hang of it. So it was really fun. I really enjoyed myself, you know, doing something that I'd never done before.
Well, you caught on very quickly. I've seen people who, you know, it takes them quite a while because you got the light refraction, you got a moving target at night, and, you know, you're shooting on a bow and you're really not used to doing that. But you picked it up pretty quickly and got some nice fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already know how to shoot a bow and arrow, so I guess that came into play.
Yeah, and tell people, you know, a lot of people think it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You put the light on them, and they're just sitting right there under the boat. It's not that easy, is it?
No, because the light refracts off the water, and it's 6 inches below.
And you know what I like about bow fishing, too, is, man, what a different view it is. You go out in the daytime, and the water's usually murky, and you can't really see what's down there. But, man, you can see everything with those bright lights, and particularly when you get to some of that clear water where it's filtered through the grass. And not only is it the fish, I mean, there's crabs, there's shrimp, there's all kinds of stuff in that water.
Yeah, but I had a good time, though. The water was a little murky, but we could see perfectly fine.
Yeah, well, you did great on shooting the bow and ended up putting some fish in the boat, and we really appreciate it. Enjoyed spending some time with you, and we're really looking forward to this upcoming season. What goals has Coach Kelly set for you guys this year?
For one, to win the national championship. That's our main goal every year. because we put in all the work, you know what I'm saying? So this year, it was a great off season. It's been a great fall camp. So we just want to put all together and try to win the national championship this year.
You know, you've played in several stadiums now. Is there any place like Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night?
Oh, man, it's nothing like it, literally nothing like it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. All right, well, we'll be looking for you. And, again, give us your number so we'll be able to put you in focus and watch your season as it progresses.
Yes, sir, number 90 on the field. I'll be wearing number Guillory the second this year for the first time.
Yeah, very good.
On my back plate.
Very good. We'll be looking for you. And thanks for joining us, Jacoby, and really enjoyed the trip. Maybe we can get to do it again next time.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
All righty. Jacoby and Guillory, defensive tackle for LSU and featured in one of our Tigers in the Wild, which you can see on Bayou Wild TV if you want to check out the stations nearest you. We air on Fox 15 in Lafayette. We also air on MyTV 16 in Baton Rouge, My54 in New Orleans. We're on Fox 29 in Southwest Louisiana, the Southeastern Channel. Also, we're on Rev TV. And, of course, you can always catch us on the YouTube channel, BayouWildTV.com. You'll find the local listings, the times, and if you choose to do so, check it out on our YouTube. Tigers in the Wild, a presentation of John Deere's famous Sunshine Equipment. They're your hometown John Deere dealer. And by the way, there's going to be a giveaway for a John Deere Gator. And if you happen to see me and Mason Taylor, the LSU tight end, sitting in that purple and gold Gator on the Mandeville Lakefront, we're going to tell you in a little while how you might be able to win it for yourself and be the envy of your hunting club. We're back after this. Captain Mike Gallo, he was doing some freshwater fishing this week up on the White River. We'll get a report on what he caught and how he did it next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we get a report each week from Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. It's a presentation of CETO. You know those guys. They're the ones that come get you when you're in need. Free towing, jump start you if you have electrical problems. They'll even bring you fuel if you run low. Dock-to-dock towing, and of course you get that on every boat that you own or even borrow. Check them out. You can get it for $299 for an entire year, and you can do that by calling Captain Chris, 504-301-4545 or CETO.com. And from time to time, they put on specials, and we'll let you know when and where those are going to be. Captain Mike joins us now, and he returns from a freshwater fishing trip up in Arkansas on the White River. Mike, were you in that Bull Shoals area? Is that where you were?
That's exactly where we were, Don, fishing right below the Bull Shoals Dam in the White River.
Boy, that is a world-renowned location for trout. Tell us what you caught and how you caught them.
Well, our mornings started with a nice breakfast. All the guys would gather. There was eight of us. The Texas group that I've been fishing with for over 20 years invited me to go up on one of their excursions. They've invited me many times over the years, but I finally had some time and accepted their invitation. So, like I said, we would have breakfast, discuss a little strategy, talk some fishing, head down to the ramp, which was no more than a 10-minute drive. The guides had their boats there. They're kind of small jet drive boats. Each boat's about 20 foot long, kind of flat on the bottom because some of those areas isn't but 4 or 5 inches deep. And we would go either upriver or downriver. The guides knew certain areas they wanted to target. And we threw ultralight tackle. We fished inline spinners. And we caught a variety of fish drifting along with the current. It was quite different than anything I've done. I caught on to it fairly well. And very enjoyable. Very enjoyable time out there.
And it was a combination of rainbows and browns?
We caught rainbow trout, we caught brown trout, and there were a few cutthroat trout caught as well.
Yeah, that's a nice mix. Now, as you're drifting along there, are you trying to cast a structure or just as close to the bank as you can? Or how did you actually work the baits?
If you don't see any structure, you want to throw close to the bank and bring it back to you. And it was sort of like we fish jigs in this area. You hop it a few times and pull it, let it fall, just sort of an erratic retrieve to sort of draw attention to yourself. But if you did see like a big boulder or a rock breaking the current, then the fish would often hang out by those structures as well. And you would cast toward those to see if you could get a strike. A lot of fun. Different, but a lot of fun. Very relaxing. That's what several of the guys that I fished with, they said, you know, they've been fishing with me, some of them over 20 years. And they said, Mike, you certainly seem relaxed. And I said, well, I'm not working. I'm not making sure everything's taken care of for you guys. I'm just one of the guys, and everything's taken care of for me. So it was very relaxing. I enjoyed going, and hopefully they'll invite me again, and I'll take them up on it.
Well, I've witnessed your hook set on a redfish strike. Did that affect you fishing those trout? Did you have to kind of slow down on it a little bit?
Yeah, the ultralight rod really bends quite a bit. So, you know, I do have a bass fishing style of hook set. I always say I'm not trying to make friends with the fish, I'm trying to catch them. So light line, light drag, limber rod would sort of absorb some of that hook set. I didn't have any issues with any of my equipment. It's only 8-pound test. But the rod is quite forgiving and sort of helps you. It did take me a while to get the hang of trying to cast that light setup, because it's just not what I've been doing for so many years. It took a bit to get the hang of casting it. And that little jig we were throwing couldn't have been more than a quarter ounce. Mm. So we got fair distance with it. You know, you're down in that river, you're in between valleys and rocks, not much wind at all, so you didn't have any wind to worry about trying to cast into. Enjoyable. I really enjoyed myself. Beautiful lodge up there. So looking forward to going back.
Very good. Mike, in the time we have left, what's your one big tip for somebody headed out to your area, Lake Catherine, Lake Pontchartrain, Biloxi Marsh today?
Well, fortunately, our local fish have been hanging out in the deeper areas, the deeper bayous with moving water, and those areas are going to offer protection from the wind. So those areas, Unknown Pass, Wrigley's Pass, Chef Pass, Miller's Bayou, Catherine Pass, all of those areas are going to be protected from the wind, get up against the shoreline, cast out towards the middle. The marina's going to have good live bait, and if you can find areas where there's shells on the bottom, there'll be a variety of fish down there. Had a boat go out yesterday. He caught some black drum, some sheephead, a couple of redfish, a flounder, a few speckled trout. I think they caught a fair amount of white trout, but elected not to keep any. So there's fish there. What I don't know is if the water's gotten dirty overnight, because the wind's been pretty consistent. As usual, you'll want to find as much clean water as you can. It should be moving. So get out of the wind where you can feel that light bite, live bait on the bottom, and hopefully you'll catch some.
Good to have you back in state, Mike. Somebody wants to get a hold of you and talk fishing and tripping, tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can reach me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAOfLA.com. We're on Facebook at Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
Here he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, our Born on the Bayou guy. Coming up next, Chris Holmes. He's down in Grand Isle for the Ride the Bull tournament. Going to give us an update on what's going on as Hundreds of kayaks are being slipped into the water out of Bridgeside Marina, headed to Caminata Pass in search of a winning redfish. We're back with Chris's report after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, a presentation of Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington. And they have some of the best kayak fishing models like Hobies, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft, and just tons and tons of products and accessories for those of you who like to paddle for your fish. They also offer demo days where you can try and ride before you buy, and you can find out all that information and more at MasseyOutfitters.com, or you can also check out their Facebook page. Joining us from Grand Isle to talk about the Ride the Bull is Chris Holmes, veteran paddler and kayaker. And Chris, how's things shaping up down there for this year's Ride the Bull?
Don, we're doing good. We, you know, as of close last night, we were right at 300, which is, you know, fantastic. You know, obviously down from some of the record years, but, you know, that's all rodeos and stuff. But you can put 300 on the water, it's a good day. We're going to have a little wind today and a little tide, but they're launching. I talked to a few people that backed out, you know, some of the less experienced, a little nervous, and, you know, that's understandable. There's nowhere to tuck and hide in the past, so you're going to be out there in the elements. But we just hope everybody's going to be safe. We'll have the boats out there. PFDs are mandatory, and hopefully at worst somebody gets wet, and that's it.
Fishing in those conditions with a pretty stiff wind and open Caminata Pass, any specialized equipment? I guess a heavier anchor is certainly going to be important. You're going to have to be able to hold your ground.
Yeah, an anchor and a little bit of chain, but, you know, as we explained at the safety meeting last night, the anchor can also be really bad. You get sideways in that current, you know, especially, or they hang the anchor and they're really jerking on it trying to get it, and they lean a little bit too over and you have some issues. You know, we recommend tying a float to your rope, and worst comes to worst, you cut it loose and we'll go back and get it, you know, pull it with a boat or whatever. But that's the biggest thing, is just watching your angles, you know, in the kayak, because fighting the fish or, you know, just fighting the current, you get a little bit off balance, and it doesn't take long to get wet.
What has been your experience on successfully catching bull reds in that pass there? Is there a certain part of it that is usually more productive? And given a stiff east wind, is one side going to be better for, you know, getting set up and fishing than another?
The first off, you know, with the wind going out on the Caminata side, you know, into the Gulf, we're probably going to pull the boundaries in a little bit, you know, just because if you get out there and you do hook up and you got a fish pulling you around, who knows where you're going to end up. So we're doing that. But, you know, obviously the bridge is always a good spot. You got some structure. It'll break the current a little bit and get there. But, you know, what we find with these many people in here, I mean, these fish are roaming and just schools, you know, small schools, but they're just circling. They're going around, you know, because we'll get a school come through and you got four or five people hooked up, you know, all instantly and just going through. I think the biggest thing, especially a day like today, is patience, you know, because you get out there anywhere from 15 to 20 is what I like as far as water depth. And, you know, if you can anchor out, sit it out, you're going to be fishing with bait, you know, on the bottom. Mostly there's going to be a few lures used, but for most people, you know, anything from crabs to mullet and cut ladyfish, whatever. And so patience really is probably the biggest factor you're going to have.
We're talking with Chris Holmes. He's filling in as our field reporter for the kayak and paddling segment. He's down at Ride the Bull, taking place. Hundreds of kayaks headed out of Bridgeside Marina into Caminata Pass in search of bull redfish. Chris, getting set up, right bait, right equipment is one thing. Once you hook up, you've caught a lot of big fish, including some big tarpon. What's the key to getting a redfish successfully brought to the side of the boat and getting them to where you can get it to the boat to have it weighed and released?
Yeah, you know, a good thing, you know, decent equipment. You don't want the lightest of rods. I mean, not that they can't be landed because you're in open water and stuff and you can light drag, but that puts a big, you know, bigger strain on the fish, especially in the warm water conditions. So, you know, good medium setup, good leader, fighting it, you know, have a decent drag where, you know, it's not going to break you off, and you just enjoy the ride, as we say, you know. And some of them will pull anchor and, you know, let the fish pull them around. Doing that, you'll actually land them quicker because he's not only fighting your drag, he's fighting the boat too, you know, where you're sitting there, so he's pulling everything around. So it's just patience, being careful, get them both sides. You know, one good quick thing I wanted to mention, we did team up with the Recreational Fishing Alliance this year. some of these bulls are actually going to be going on. There's a boat anchored out there right now with tanks on it. They're going to be going to the hatchery to release, first time for Louisiana, I believe, some hatchery-raised redfish. And it's going to be coming from Rod the Bull, so we're kind of excited about that.
Well, you may be running into another Chris LeCocq. He's down there with our Bayou Wild TV, and he's documenting it. And we're going to follow him out to the fish hatchery and get some footage there and do the whole process so people will be able to watch it. It's an historic event, and it's good that the Rod the Bull is
supporting it. That's great news. Yeah, we're really excited about that.
Yeah, it's certainly a historic event. Well, Chris, listen, thanks for filling in. You did a great job. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, sir. Bye, Don.
Chris Holmes reporting in on our paddler's report from the Ride the Bull tournament, the largest kayak tournament, actually, I think, in the world. All right, when we come back after this, it's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. Had a guy copped a plea. We'll tell you his story back next after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. I want to mention the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator giveaway to support 4-H and FFA across the Louisiana. And you can win that 2024 LSU. It's a beautiful purple and gold gator. And if you want to get a look at it, go to my Facebook page. You'll see me and LSU tight end Mason Taylor sitting in it. And you can win it. You can get a ticket for $20. And all the proceeds will go to Louisiana FFA and 4-H. They'll be doing the drawing. It ends on November 17th. I'm not sure what game, but one of the games they'll actually be doing the drawing and awarding the winner. So check it all out. It's the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway. All right, getting back to the text board. Let's see. We got this one from Big E in Thibodaux. He says, I participated in the Hunters for the Hungry program last Sunday at Rouse's in Thibodaux. The young man who was receiving the game and fish was very polite and thankful. It made me feel very happy to contribute. Well, thanks for your contribution, Big E. And I got to give a shout-out to Rouse's. I was volunteering at the Rouse's in Slidell. And they really helped me out. They assigned an employee to assist me. And a good thing they had a big tub with dry ice in it, because the number of ice chests I brought, I underestimated the amount of turnout, and I wouldn't have been able to contain them all had they not brought that out there. So very successful event, and looking forward to next year's. With regard to the whistling ducks, this one says, if you haven't been to the Audubon Zoo lately, in the evening, that's all you hear in the trees. That's where they roost. Yeah, well, I guess they fly there from the river. It's not far from some of those grain elevators where they get a lot of their feed. From Big Man Bassin, he wants to know, do I think white trout will be the next species wildlife and fisheries will be setting limits? That's a possibility. If there's going to be limits on the next fish, it would either be the white trout, possibly sheep's head, too. Right now, they're unlimited on size and quantity also. All right, we come back from this 10-second pause. It's time for our Bad Boy Store of the Outdoors. Guy pled guilty in federal U.S. District Court to baiting game birds and hunting over that bait. We're back with his plea and the time he'll do right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, on sentencing day in federal U.S. District Court of Louisiana in Baton Rouge and Iberville, for those of you outside of New Orleans where it's pronounced Iberville, the Iberville Parish man pled guilty to placing bait to hunt migratory game birds and taking migratory game birds over that baited area. Our story begins on New Year's Day 2023 when Hunter Satoon was celebrating with a duck hunt in Iberville Parish when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agent Sergeant Tyler Smith, Corporal Luke Langley, and Corporal Garrett Kirkland witnessed Satoon hunting migratory game birds over an area that the agents had documented to be baited with wheat and corn. As part of the plea deal, U.S. Magistrate Judge Richard L. Bourgeois, Jr. handed down a sentence of $1,135 fine and a one-year suspension from hunting for 20-year-old Hunter Satoon of Bayou Pigeon, Louisiana, our Bad Boy of the Outdoors. And not a great way to start off your new year, huh? Okay, back to the text message board. This one says, hey, Don, I received a call from someone representing Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries who was doing a survey of non-resident fishermen. The only question asked was, did I fish in Louisiana last week? Do you know if this is a legitimate survey and what is the purpose? I enjoy your program. I know they do surveys on fishing both on the dock and they also do, but normally they would do it through email. But they may be doing it through telephone, and I don't see where it would be a scam if they only asked you one question. If you fished in Louisiana last week, it was probably a legitimate survey. And that is from one of our Mississippi listeners. Let's see. We have this one from Jason and the crew there at my barbershop, Corey's. It's officially college football season. Yeah, and it's officially fishing season and not far from hunting season. Boy, where does the time go? You got to make time for all of it, huh? And Miriam in Lacombe says, I've always thought the place name Happy Jack had to do with the pump jacks used in mining and oil fields, but it might just be my imagination. Well, it could be, but the story I got was there was a very happy guy back in 1874, and they named the post office after him, and they called him Happy Jack, and it stuck at the post office till 1958. If you're driving down Plaquemines Parish, you'll probably see some Happy Jack signs. It's just outside of Port Sulphur. And our friend the Weave is fishing Ride the Bull. Wish him luck. Good luck to you, Weave. Get that red. And we got the old man Sam. He's working the irrigation equipment this morning. How dry I am, he says. All right, we'll be back right after this with Captain Ryan Lambert. Got a lot of questions for him. People are texting and wanting to know more information about him, and I wanted to talk to him about the prospects for the duck season and also his thoughts on the whistling ducks being included during teal season. We're back with Captain Ryan after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And this morning we have an extended version of the Plastic Man feature with Captain Ryan. He seems to be the most popular guy on the text message board for questions, and he joins us now. Captain Ryan, thanks for being with us as always. And, man, I got a lot to talk about with you. First up, I had a guy wanted to know, he wants to get a new rod for speckled trout and red fishing. And he wanted to know what my favorite is. Just generically, I like to use a 6.5-foot medium action. If I'm throwing a top water, I like a little bit longer rod, maybe a 7-footer. But I've got a rod that I got from you, and it's got a Captain Ryan signature on it. It's a 6.5-foot, and it's like a medium action. But there's no brand name on it. It's got your signature on it. Can you tell me, if somebody wanted to get that rod, it's a casting rod with the cork handle. What brand is that?
Ryan Lambert.
So they can only get it through
I actually had my own mandrel, which is a mofa rod made in China. I had three mandrels, actually. I had a 6.5, a 7, and I had a 7-foot spinning rod. And I started making the rods, and they were great because it was my own action that I designed, and it's really, you know, it's really fast action on the tip. You know, it's got a lot of backbone, but it's got a lot of tip.
Exactly.
But you know, when I started selling them, people would break two or three at a time in the window and say, yeah, I broke all three of these fishes. I said, you know what, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. So what would you say is the closest? What do you say is the closest thing to it if you want to send them out to buy a rod? Because I really love it. I keep a Corrado bait caster on it, and it's my favorite rod to throw for specks and reds because it doesn't weigh you out. It's fairly light. Like you say, it's got that fast tip, but it's got some meat down on the bottom.
Right. So it's a medium action fast. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a 7-foot rod that's got a lot of backbone, but yet the tip is really light. You know, not too light, but just a fast action to where it comes down nice. And you can actually feel, you know, when you say it's fast or something, a lot of people don't understand it. But if you fish a limpy rod and you feel the trout, it's like it's slow. But when you get a nice tip that's got some backbone under it and it's the tiniest bit stiff, you could actually feel it right away. Boom, it's fast. You know, you can tell the difference. It doesn't have that dead spot in it. You know, you'd have to fish every day to understand it, but it's that good.
Yeah. All right, well, I got some other questions. The topic of the Happy Jack came up again with the naming, and somebody wanted to get her fishing report from Happy Jack, which is close to Port Sulphur on the west side of the river. You know, I know you don't fish there as much because there's been so much lost habitat over there. What can you tell people about fishing there?
Well, you know, when you go out to Happy Jack, you go, you know, normally you're going out to Bay Washington and all that, and, you know, that's common ground with a lot of camps and such, and there's a lot of speckled trout out that way. You know, people just go straight out and go to either to all the junk where the sulfur mine was, or they go towards Fort Bayou. You know, they're always going out. They don't just fish in the marsh and Happy Jack anymore. They're going out to fish speckled trout on the outside.
Right. Someone also wanted to know about fishing for triple tail and mangrove trips that you offer. You know, the mangroves, you can pretty well find those, but the triple tail, man, that's kind of a lanyap fish. You know, if somebody specifically wants to go for triple tail, you better be prepared to do a lot of boat riding and searching.
Yeah, you do. You have to, well, depending on how you do it. You know, there's two or three different varieties of triple tail fishing, and one that's a lot popular that a lot of folks know about is just hitting the crab trap corks and going and going and going until you see one under there. Or, you know, coming up pretty soon, there'll be debris coming out the river, you know, like water lilies and stuff will start flushing out the river and the marshes, and they'll get under those. So you can follow those and get them. Or you can get them on structures, you know, and that's something that you can do when you find out what section they're at, you know, rigs and poles and stuff like that. And that's how I like to do it, because you catch a lot bigger fish.
Excellent. So if somebody did want to book one of those trips, can you put that together for them still this time, this late in the season?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Cody just got a 25-foot skeeter, so he'll be doing some of that stuff. You know, we like the mangroves and the cobias and all that stuff. So I think with that 25-footer, Cody will do a little bit more of that stuff. And I like it. I was going to do it today, and they said it was a gust of 30, and here it is dead calm.
Come on. Well, at 4:30 this morning, I saw it, they were reporting 23-mile-an-hour winds down at Southwest Pass. I guess that's changed.
Well, that's where I was going with Ed Sexton, so I'm glad it's blowing down there and I'm not there then.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here all heartbroken because I didn't go.
Well, it's possible because Bell Chase, which is not far up the road from you, is it was absolutely calm while it was 23-mile-an-hour wind, so it looks like it's down there on that lower coast. Ryan, stay with me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this duck situation, about the whistling ducks. The department is requesting from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service we put them in teal season, and the numbers are out on the duck population, the breeding population, and some of it is not good, and it might bring about some changes in the regulations for next year. We're talking with the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and you're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're talking with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, oh, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one mottled duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none. You know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season, possibly next season. Now, the 2024 waterfowl survey was completed on the number of breeding ducks. And, you know, the thing that's disturbing to me is the blue-winged teal. The blue-winged teal is now down to 4.599, and blue-winged teal has regulations that if it's between 3.3 and 4.7, you only get 9 days, which is where we are now. You don't get any days if it ever drops below 3.3 million. I don't see that happening. But we've been enjoying the 16 days because it's over that 4.7. It's now dropped below that, so it's not going to affect this season, but next year we could be looking at a 9-day teal season.
Well, the good thing is that after they made the count, we had a massive rains up there, and the pond count went way, way up, and the water went way up, and there was some late broods coming. So we're going to have more ducks than what they counted, and they still talk about three pintails next year.
Right.
The gender is off or something like that. You know, there's too many males to the females, so I really don't know how, except all the people shooting them female with gray ducks and counting them as, you know, saying they, you know, the gray ducks and they pintails, but we try not to shoot a female.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, the mallards are up, which is what they set the season on, the adaptive harvest season. They're based, whether you get 60 days or 45 or 30 days, is based on the mallard count, which really isn't that important because we don't see mallards much in South Louisiana at all. The gray ducks are down from last year.
Yeah,
widgeon is up 55% on the widgeon.
Big up on widgeons.
Green-winged teal up 20%, but those blue-wings are down 12%.
You know, and I wonder why. You know, it's kind of weird. They in the same ponds. It's just where they were, there's less ponds, and now there's a lot more ponds. I mean, the pond count really went up, and that's going to be really good for next year. You know, you got to have water. And when you have those dry ponds like we had, they're going down for the last 2 or 3 years. It really affects the ducks, but the pintails, they nest in the fields, and that's the problem there. You know, so much agriculture just wiping them out. It's disheartening, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's almost unfair to judge what you guys do down there. You know, I get reports from all over this state. I get reports from other states. And I got to tell you, there's no place more consistent, despite whatever conditions you got, that is going to attract more ducks than what you've got right down near the mouth of the river.
Yeah, well, you have it's the nutrients in the water. It's, you know, it's the river pushes through there, even when it's low, and the salt water is on the bottom and the fresh water is on the top because of the it's laden with salt. But that fresh water is all the difference in the world. It makes aquatic vegetation. It makes the food source, and that's what it's all about. Is you got to have the food source in which to maintain millions and millions of food hours for all that many ducks. And a lot of places don't have it, and we're losing it. I mean, take right here where I'm at right now, and close to Desalmans. There's not a speck of grass in the bayou, in the lakes, all the way to Lake Buff, all the way in Temple Bay. It used to be a giant grass bed. It's all the salt water has intruded so much, and they do not like the salt water. Plus, there's no nutrients and no food in it. And, you know, we've lost 2,400 square miles of land, but we've lost 10,000 square miles of habitat. Ducks eat the habitat, not the land. Yeah. So you gotta think how many, you know, there's just not enough food to keep them here anymore. Plus, you know, the short-stopping issue that people talk about. You know, I don't have a gauge on that because I hunted flooded corn last year in Illinois, and I had to barely scratch out a limit in it. And, I you know, it wasn't like at home where I see tens of thousands of ducks in a day most of the time. You know, I'd see four coming from a mile away, and we'd kill those four, and then you'd see three more coming. It was sparse compared to what we used to hear.
Yeah, well, you got a very special place down there. There's no question about that. Well, the Dogree are up. For people are interested in scalping, that's good news. They're up a little bit. Ryan, I guess you're taking bookings now for the duck season, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so booked up. Miss Corman got a shoehorn trying to get people in there. It's gonna be busy.
Well,
I told her the other day, I said, well, we got a fall coming starting next week that I won't be able to breathe for 4 months.
Yeah. Well, look, I got one last text I want to share with you. It says that the plastic man, this person went to your mom's religion classes back in the late 70s, but the only time they saw you, you're either loading or unloading a boat. Did you skip out of your mom's religion class?
I wasn't in her class. That was a different
I don't think
age
you were.
Group,
you might have missed that class during duck season anyway. All right,
yeah,
Ryan.
I left home when I was 17 with them boat.
Catch you next week, my friend. Thanks for the report. We appreciate
it. All right. You're very welcome, buddy. We'll see you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I want to mention the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway to support 4-H and FFA across the Louisiana. And you can win that 2024 LSU. It's a beautiful purple and gold gator. And if you want to get a look at it, go to my Facebook page. You'll see me and LSU tight end Mason Taylor sitting in it. And you can win it. You can get a ticket for $20. And all the proceeds will go to Louisiana FFA and 4-H. They'll be doing the drawing. It ends on November 17th. I'm not sure what game, but one of the games they'll actually be doing the drawing and awarding the winner. So check it all out. It's the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway. All right, getting back to the text board, let's see. We got this one from Big E in Thibodeau. He says, I participated in the Hunters for the Hungry program last Sunday at Rouse's in Thibodeau. The young man who was receiving the game and fish was very polite and thankful. It made me feel very happy to contribute. Well, thanks for your contribution, Big E, and I got to give a shout-out to Rouse's. I was volunteering at the Rouse's in Slidell, and they really helped me out. They assigned an employee to assist me. And a good thing they had a big tub with dry ice in it, because the number of ice chests I brought, I underestimated the amount of turnout, and I wouldn't have been able to contain them all had they not brought that out there. So very successful event, and looking forward to next year's. With regard to the Whistling Ducks, this one says, if you haven't been to the Audubon Zoo lately, in the evening, that's all you hear in the trees. That's where they roost. Yeah, well, I guess they fly there from the river. It's not far from some of those grain elevators where they get a lot of their feed. From Big Man Bassin, he wants to know, do I think white trout will be the next species wildlife and fisheries will be setting limits? That's a possibility. If there's going to be limits on the next fish, it would either be the white trout, possibly sheep's head, too. Right now, they're unlimited on size and quantity also. All right, we come back from this 10-second pause. It's time for our bad boy story of the outdoors. Guy pled guilty in federal U.S. District Court to baiting bird, game birds, and hunting over that bait. We're back with his plea and the time he'll do right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on sentencing day in federal U.S. District Court of Louisiana and Baton Rouge and Iberville, for those of you outside of New Orleans where it's pronounced Iberville, the Iberville Parish man pled guilty to placing bait to hunt migratory game birds and taking migratory game birds over that baited area. Our story begins on New Year's Day 2023 when Hunter Satoon was celebrating with a duck hunt in Iberville Parish when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agent Sergeant Tyler Smith, Corporal Luke Langley, and Corporal Garrett Kirkland witnessed Satoon hunting migratory game birds over an area that the agents had documented to be baited with wheat and corn. As part of the plea deal, U.S. Magistrate Judge Richard L. Bourgeois, Jr. handed down a sentence of $1,135 fine and a one-year suspension from hunting for 20-year-old Hunter Satoon of Bayou Pigeon, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. And not a great way to start off your new year, huh? Okay, back to the text message board. This one says, hey, Don, I received a call from someone representing Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries who was doing a survey of non-resident fishermen. The only question asked was, did I fish in Louisiana last week? Do you know if this is a legitimate survey and what is the purpose? I enjoy your program. I know they do surveys on fishing, both on the dock, and they also do, but normally they would do it through email, but they may be doing it through telephone, and I don't see where it would be a scam if they only asked you one question. If you fished in Louisiana last week, it was probably a legitimate survey, and that is from one of our Mississippi listeners. Let's see, we have this one from Jason and the crew there at my barbershop, Corey's. It's officially college football season. Yeah, and it's officially fishing season and not far from hunting season. Boy, where does the time go? You got to make time for all of it, huh? And Miriam in Lacombe says, I've always thought the place name Happy Jack had to do with the pump jacks used in mining and oil fields, but it might just be my imagination. Well, it could be, but the story I got was there was a very happy guy back in 1874, and they named the post office after him, and they called him Happy Jack, and it stuck at the post office till 1958. If you're driving down Plaquemines Parish, you'll probably see some Happy Jack signs. It's just outside of Port Sulphur. And our friend the Weave is fishing Ride the Bull. Wish him luck. Good luck to you, Weave. Get that red. And we got the old man Sam. He's working the irrigation equipment this morning. How dry I am, he says. All right, we'll be back right after this with Captain Ryan Lambert. Got a lot of questions for him. People are texting and wanting to know more information about him, and I wanted to talk to him about the prospects for the duck season and also his thoughts on the whistling ducks being included during teal season. We're back with Captain Ryan after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this morning we have an extended version of the Plastic Man feature with Captain Ryan. He seems to be the most popular guy on the text message board for questions, and he joins us now. Captain Ryan, thanks for being with us as always. And, man, I got a lot to talk about with you. First up, I had a guy wanted to know, he wants to get a new rod for speckled trout and red fishing. And he wanted to know what my favorite is. Just generically, I like to use a 6.5 foot medium action. If I'm throwing a top water, I like a little bit longer rod, maybe a 7 footer. But I've got a rod that I got from you, and it's got a Captain Ryan signature on it. It's a 6.5 foot, and it's like a medium action, but there's no brand name on it. It's got your signature on it. Can you tell me, if somebody wanted to get that rod? It's a casting rod with the cork handle. What brand is that?
Ryan Lambert.
So they can only get it through Ryan Lambert.
I actually had my own mandrel, which is a mofa rod made in China. I had three mandrels actually. I had a 6.5, a 7, and I had a 7 foot spinning rod. And I started making the rods, and they were great because it was my own action that I designed, and it's really, you know, it's really fast action on the tip. You know, it's got a lot of backbone, but it's got a lot of tip.
Exactly.
But you know, when I started selling them, people would break two or three at a time in the window and say, "Yeah, I broke all three of these fishes." I said, "You know what? I'm not doing this."
Yeah. So what would you say is the closest left? What do you say is the closest thing to it if you want to send them out to buy a rod? Because I really love it. I keep a Corrado bait caster on it, and it's my favorite rod to throw for specks and reds because it doesn't weigh you out. It's fairly light. Like you say, it's got that fast tip, but it's got some meat down on the bottom.
Right. So it's a medium action fast. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a 7 foot rod that's got a lot of backbone, but yet the tip is really light. You know, not too light, but just a fast action to where it comes down nice. And you can actually feel, you know, when you say it's fast or something, a lot of people don't understand it. But if you fish a limpy rod and you feel the trout, it's like it's slow. It's like it's slow. But when you get a nice tip that's got some backbone under it and it's the tiniest bit stiff, you could actually feel it right away. Boom, it's fast. You know, you can tell the difference. It doesn't have that dead spot in it. You know, you don't have to fish every day to understand it, but it's that good.
Yeah. All right, well, I got some other questions. The topic of the Happy Jack came up again with the naming, and somebody wanted to get a fishing report from Happy Jack, which is close to Port Sulphur on the west side of the river. You know, I know you don't fish there as much because there's been so much lost habitat over there. What can you tell people about fishing there?
Well, you know, when you go out to Happy Jack, normally you're going out to Bay Washington and all that, and, you know, that's common ground with a lot of camps and such, and there's a lot of speckled trout out that way. You know, people just go straight out and go to either to all the junk where the sulfur mine was, or they go towards Fort Bayou. You know, they're always going out. They don't just fish in the marsh and Happy Jack anymore. They're going out to fish speckled trout on the outside.
Right. Someone also wanted to know about fishing for triple tail and mangrove trips that you offer. You know, the mangroves, you can pretty well find those, but the triple tail, man, that's kind of a lanyap fish. You know, if somebody specifically wants to go for triple tail, you better be prepared to do a lot of boat riding and searching.
Yeah, you do. You have to, well, it depends on how you do it. You know, there's two or three different varieties of triple tail fishing, and one that's a lot popular that a lot of folks know about is just hitting the crab trap corks and going and going and going until you see one under there. Or, you know, coming up pretty soon, there'll be debris coming out the river, you know, like water lilies and stuff will start flushing out the river and the marshes, and they'll get under those. So you can follow those and get them. Or you can get them on structures, you know, and that's something that you can do when you find out what section they're at, you know, rigs and poles and stuff like that. And that's how I like to do it because you catch a lot bigger fish.
Excellent. So if somebody did want to book one of those trips, can you put that together for them still this time, this late in the season?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Cody just got a 25-foot skeeter, so he'll be doing some of that stuff. You know, we like the mangroves and the cobias and all that stuff. So I think with that 25-footer, Cody will do a little bit more of that stuff. And I like it. I was going to do it today, and they said it was a gust of 30, and here it is dead calm.
Come on. Well, at 4:30 this morning, I saw it. They were reporting 23-mile-an-hour winds down at Southwest Pass. I guess that's changed.
Well, that's where I was going with Ed Sexton, so I'm glad it's blowing down there and I'm not there then.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here all heartbroken because I didn't go.
Well, it's possible because Belchase, which is not far up the road from you, is it was absolutely calm while it was 23-mile-an-hour wind, so it looks like it's down there on that lower coast. Ryan, stay with me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this duck situation, about the whistling ducks. The department is requesting from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service we put them in teal season, and the numbers are out on the duck population, the breeding population, and some of it is not good, and it might bring about some changes in the regulations for next year. We're talking with the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and you're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we're talking with Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And, Ryan, I guess you got the notice that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is requesting that we include the black-bellied whistling duck into the limits with the teal season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good thing if we could have another species out there. You know, I don't know. And the reason we don't have a wood duck or something, oh, we're worried about identification. Well, you got to identify birds all year long. So no matter when it is, you have to identify your three wood ducks and your one mottled duck and your one pintail. You have to identify them anyhow. So what is the difference? Now, them getting that done this year, slim and none. You know, they don't move at all that fast. I mean, it takes 3 years just to see if you're going to have a three splits or two splits or how many zones. You got to do it in 3 or 5 year sequences. So nothing moves fast when you're talking about the feds.
No, I don't think you're going to see it for sure this season, possibly next season. Now, the 2024 waterfowl survey was completed on the number of breeding ducks. And you know, the thing that's disturbing to me is the blue-winged teal. The blue-winged teal is now down to 4.599, and blue-winged teal has regulations that if it's between 3.3 and 4.7, you only get 9 days, which is where we are now. You don't get any days if it ever drops below 3.3 million. I don't see that happening. But we've been enjoying the 16 days because it's over that 4.7. It's now dropped below that, so it's not going to affect this season, but next year we could be looking at a 9-day teal season.
Well, the good thing is that after they made the count, we had a massive rains up there, and the pond count went way, way up, and the water went way up, and there was some late broods coming. So we're going to have more ducks than what they counted, and they still talk about three pintails next year.
Right.
The gender is off or something like that. You know, there's too many males to the females, so I really don't know how, except all the people shooting them female with gray ducks and counting them as, you know, saying they're gray ducks and they pintails, but we try not to shoot a female.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, the mallards are up, which is what they set the season on, the adaptive harvest season. They're based whether you get 60 days or 45 or 30 days is based on the mallard count, which really isn't that important because we don't see mallards South Louisiana at all. The gray ducks are down from last year.
Yeah,
widgeon is up 55% on the widgeon.
Big up on widgeons.
Green wing teal up 20%, but those blue wings are down 12.
You know, and I wonder why. You know, it's kind of weird. They in the same ponds. It's just where they were. There's less ponds, and now there's a lot more ponds. I mean, the pond count really went up, and that's going to be really good for next year. You know, you got to have water, and when you have those dry ponds like we had, they're going down for the last 2 or 3 years. It really affects the ducks, but the pintails, they nest in the fields, and that's the problem there. You know, so much agriculture just wiping them out. It's disheartening, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. You know, it's almost unfair to judge what you guys do down there. You know, I get reports from all over this state. I get reports from other states. And I got to tell you, there's no place more consistent, despite whatever conditions you got, that is going to attract more ducks than what you've got right down near the mouth of the river.
Yeah, well, you have it's the nutrients in the water. It's, you know, it's the river pushes through there, even when it's low, and the salt water is on the bottom and the fresh water is on the top because of the it's laden with salt. But that fresh water is all the difference in the world. And it makes aquatic vegetation. It makes the food source, and that's what it's all about. is you got to have the food source in which to maintain millions and millions of food hours for that many ducks. And a lot of places don't have it, and we're losing it. I mean, take right here where I'm at right now, and close to Desalmans. There's not a speck of grass in the bayou, in the lakes, all the way to Lake Buff, all the way in Temple Bay. It used to be a giant grass bed. It's all the salt water has intruded so much, and they do not like the salt water. Plus, there's no nutrients and no food in it. And, you know, we've lost 2,400 square miles of land, but we've lost 10,000 square miles of habitat. Ducks eat the habitat, not the land. So you gotta think how many, you know, there's just not enough food to keep them here anymore. Plus, you know, the short stopping issue that people talk about. You know, I don't have a gauge on that because I hunted flooded corn last year in Illinois and I had to barely scratch out a limit in it. And I you know, it wasn't like at home where I see tens of thousands of ducks in a day most of the time. You know, I'd see four coming from a mile away, and we'd kill those four, and then you'd see three more coming. It was sparse compared to what we used to hear.
Yeah, well, you got a very special place down there. There's no question about that. Well, the Dogri are up. If people are interested in scalping, that's good news. They're up a little bit. Ryan, I guess you're taking bookings now for the duck season, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so booked up. Miss Corman got a shoehorn trying to get people in there. It's gonna be busy.
Well,
I told her the other day, I said, well, we got a fall coming starting next week that I won't be able to breathe for 4 months.
Yeah. Well, look, I got one last text I want to share with you. It says that the plastic man, this person went to your mom's religion classes back in the late 70s, but the only time they saw you, you either loading or unloading a boat. Did you skip out of your mom's religion class?
I wasn't in her class. That was a different age group.
I don't think you were.
Group,
you might have missed that class during duck season anyway. All right,
yeah,
Ryan.
I left home when I was 17 with them boat.
Catch you next week, my friend. Thanks for the report. We appreciate
it. All right. You're very welcome, buddy. We'll see you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.